You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. This show brings you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and international parental abduction. We will introduce you to specialized schools and treatment programs that can really help. And I'll tell you what, the best way I found to know which school is best is to contact an educational consultant. Get somebody that knows the schools, that goes out there, that learns the different nuances of the schools, and then they can tell you best, when they're now working with your child, what's going to be the best fit. My guest today is someone who can tell us even more about that. He's the executive director of the IECA, and I'm thrilled to have as my guest Mark Scolaro. Mark.
Hi, Alan. Good to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you. Let me tell them a little bit about you. Mark, since 1994, Mark has served as the executive director of the IECA. This is a professional organization that represents school and college counselors that are working in private practice. Mark came to Washington, D.C. as a program director, then acting executive director of Presidential Classroom, a national civic education organization. He has also served as director of Creative Response, City at Peace Youth Programs, an international organization promoting culture, understanding, leadership, and nonviolence. Mark, that's a few things I didn't know, so I'm glad I was able to share it with everybody.
Well, thank you very much. It sounds more impressive when I hear it, too.
Well, again, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I know you've been talking with my producer, and it sounds like you have been incredibly busy. Now, has most of this been stuff that is directed towards the association, or are you taking on new, exciting roles?
No, it's almost all related directly to the association. We have been growing very quickly, even during these tough economic times. And so part of what we've been doing is outreach to other organizations with whom we have professional relationships and wanting to develop those a little bit further. But part is just simply controlling the growth and making sure that as we grow, we meet the high standards we've worked to achieve over the years.
And which I've got to say, you've done a great job for someone who has been coming to your conferences now for over 20 years. It's just been amazing to me, not only the quality, but the growth. So, I know a lot of that needs to be, shared in regards to your staff, but I know you have done a great job in getting us to that point.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, I think for some of our listeners and some of the parents out there, they may not know exactly what an educational consultant is. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the role is in assisting parents in locating a school or college?
Yeah, at its most basic level, an educational consultant becomes expert at two things. They become expert at places where kids go to learn. So they really become experts at the schools, colleges, programs, summer programs, any place that might be an appropriate placement for students. So what makes a great educational consultant is somebody who gets out in the field. They may well visit 200 or 300 different schools, both local day schools, boarding schools nationally, get out and visit colleges. They'll be out looking at therapeutic wilderness programs. Their goal is to know those programs inside and out. So that's the first piece of what they need to know. The second piece is to work with families, figure out what it is that a child really needs. You may have a student who's not achieving in their own school. Is there a learning issue involved? Is there some emotional or behavioral issue? Is it just the environment that the student is in is just not the right one, a gifted student who may be bored in a particular place? And so the consultant tries to combine those bits of information, learn everything you can about the student and the family, their goals, what they're looking for, and that can be from elementary school through graduate school and college. Figure out what it is that student wants more than anything. And then, with all the information that they've gathered over years and years and hundreds of visits, figure out the best possible match. The goal is not where can Johnny get in, which is what some parents think it's all about, whether you're applying mm-hmm. to a school or to a college. It's really about where's Johnny going to thrive? What's going to be such a great match that a kid is going to hit their stride? They are going to succeed academically, socially. They're going to find a place where they really blossom. And that's what a great educational consultant is looking for, that kind of match.
Well, I'm really glad that you're explaining this, because I know that we get calls and we get emails from parents that after listening to the show or just because they're contacting Westshield, but they're saying, hey, come take my child to a program. I go, great. We'd love to be able to do that. And then they ask us to pick. And I explain to them, and I use various different examples, but one of which is, I said, you know, I mean, if your child was going in for brain surgery, I mean, you know, would you be asking me to choose who the doctor should be? I mean, you know, would you be wanting me to do that?
That's such a great example, Alan, and I would even say for some people it's more like coming to you and saying, or if you said your child needs surgery and not knowing what type of surgery, but you can pick.
Exactly.
Because very often the parents, what they'll say is, maybe my child's acting out or my child's not succeeding, but we've got to get what the root cause is. It's very different, as you know, a student who may have an eating disorder or a student who, based on learning disabilities, led them to depression, and which may have led to drug use. I mean, there's so many aspects of this that getting to the root of what's really involved, and then you can figure out what's a good match. But it all starts with what's best for this particular child. I'll even give you the flip side on college or boarding school.
Please.
We'll get calls here in the office where a parent will say, well, just give me the names of the top five schools. And, of course, it's a silly thing to ask, because what's a great school for one student would be a disaster for somebody else, because it's going to be too competitive, or it's going to be something else that's just not right for the individual student.
Right, and we get the same thing from the special needs side, where they're contacting us and saying, well, my kid's on drugs, I just want to send him somewhere where he'll get off drugs. And I'll go, is that the primary issue or is it a secondary issue? And they go, what? And I go, that's the point. You answered what? The point is, if you don't know that, and if I don't know that, how could we pick a program? That's why you have professionals that know how to do this.
And you're exactly right, and that's what we pride ourselves on in the association, is that we've got members that develop those areas of expertise. And as you know, many of our members specialize. Some do only a therapeutic placement, and others will work only in the LD realm. But many of our members are working in several of those areas.
Now, what are some of the other things that qualify an ed consultant, and do they qualify in different areas? In other words, do they qualify in college prep, and yet another one will qualify in special needs?
Yeah, and first I should clarify, and that is that there are probably nationwide 4,000 or 5,000 people who hang out shingles and declare themselves an educational consultant. There isn't licensure in any state in the United States, and so we as an association have stepped forward and established standards for membership in our association. And let me give you some of a real quick list of the general ones that we require.
Okay.
Folks who want to join IECA, the Independent Educational Consultants Association, need to have 3 years of experience at minimum. They must have visited a minimum of 50 campuses. They must have worked with at least 25 client families. We'll do reference checks to make sure that The placements that they worked on were appropriate, so we're checking both with institutions and was it the match a good one, as well as with parents wanting to know whether they found the person knowledgeable and ethical. We actually do something where we may be the only national professional organization in America that does this. We check the applicant's website and marketing materials to make sure that there is nothing that we consider to be false promises or that the ads mislead parents as to what a consultant's role is or what they can accomplish. And we actually have words in our ethics guidelines that you can't be engaging in any action designed to increase parent anxiety. So you would never have a consultant getting a phone call from a parent saying, "Oh my God, that's terrible. You better do something immediately," which you and I have both probably heard allusions to in this field. But rather, a consultant's first reaction ought to be, "Don't worry. Mm-hmm. There's lots of opportunities out there, lots of great programs. We're going to help you figure out what's the right one." And so that's what we do generally. And then, yes, when somebody wants to work in any of the specialties, they have to go further. They have to demonstrate a number of clients within the specialty. Those visits that I talked about to look at campuses have to be based on what their specialty area is. So someone who's doing therapeutic work, you must have been out visiting wilderness programs, emotional growth boarding schools, and the like, mm-hmm. where someone who's doing traditional day in boarding schools have to go out and visit those sorts of institutions. And then people that are working in LD areas must show us that they have training in understanding, testing, psychoeducational evaluations, and other things as they relate to learning differences. And those who want to work in therapeutic similarly have to show an advanced set of knowledge of the issues as they relate to emotional and behavioral disorders, substance abuse issues, and the like.
Well, and you just mentioned learning disabilities, which I think we have a listener question that works right into that. We have a listener question that was emailed into us, which, by the way, folks, we appreciate these very much. We're going to get to the point to where I'm going to start taking in more calls as well, but right now we appreciate you emailing them in. This one says, "I am a school teacher who works in special ed. I will be retiring at the end of the school year. I've been considering going into ed consulting after I retire. Is this a bad time to try to find clients, even if I only intend to work part-time?" So actually, this person has three questions, so let me start with that one.
Okay. Well, welcome. We'd love to have you come join us. It's actually a great time. The number of folks who are nearing retirement, and it's the most common background of those that enter the field of consulting, are people who have spent a career in education or admissions or counseling and decide that at the time of retirement that they want to continue to work at their own pace. And even though the economy has been troubling over the last several months, it's actually been a growth time for the field of educational consulting. In part, you know, consider families that choose to send a student into either a therapeutic program or a college or university. It's probably the most expensive thing the family will buy outside of their own home for their entire lives. And so many families are now saying, you know, I need to make sure this is the right match. It's simply too expensive a choice. It's expensive both not only financially, but in terms of their child's well-being. And so the field of consulting is growing faster now than it ever has. And as Alan, as you've said, I've been around a long time. It's never been growing as quickly as it is today. And so it's actually a terrific time to enter the field.
Well, their next question is, where does one go to get training in this area?
Well, of course I'm going to say that I think the best training that's being done anywhere is the training that we do. We are the National Association for Educational Consultants, and so we do a summer training program that looks at the counseling side, the placement side, but also looks at being an ethical small businessman. Which is a piece of it that most folks, frankly, that come into the field don't have. They've been a counselor, they've been an educator. What they don't know how to do is run a small business. And so we try to deal with all of those. There's also some online educational programs that are out there as well UC Irvine offers a certificate program in independent educational consulting. UCLA, UC Berkeley, UC Riverside all offer some online programs in educational consulting.
Wow, and those are all right here in our backyard here in California. But one of the great things about this show is it is international. So there's probably other ones out there. And actually, before I go to their third question from the same person, if they need to get a hold of you, because again, your program is the one that I'm more familiar with, how can they get a hold of you if this person who's taken the time to email in this question, give them the website where they can go to get a hold of you and or your staff?
Would love to do that. The website is www.iecaonline.com, and lots of information about training and entering the field of consulting are available through that website, including names of the people here at the national office who can assist them.
That's great. And this person, their third question was, where do most of the referrals come from?
Well, you know, ultimately most of the referrals, frankly, will come from word of mouth. Like many professionals, doctors, psychologists, counselors, and others, it's somebody having a great experience with an educational consultant will refer them to friends and family. There are certainly referrals done from our office. We handle them by the thousands through our website, the same address we just gave you, iecaonline.com. But generally speaking, and what we tell our members is you do a great job for your kids, putting children first, making sure that their needs are met. That's going to be what you need in order to get the referrals and have a successful career as a consultant.
That makes sense to me, and I love the part of the fact that you're helping them understand small business, because you're right. So many people, if you've been in the public sector most of your life, it's a whole different world now when you have to go out there, you have to do your own marketing, and you learn, wait a minute, when I'm out marketing, how am I meeting clients, and vice versa. So,
yeah, it's a funny thing, Alan, that so many people enter this field, and what they've done is they've spent their lives helping kids, mm-hmm. and they almost feel guilty. Then charging families to offer help and assistance. We help them understand that that's sort of the way it works, and frankly, by charging families an appropriate amount, it also frees you to do pro bono work and volunteer work to help kids in a larger area as well. So teaching them good business skills is not only good to keep a business running, necessary to keep a business running, but frankly, it enables you to do volunteer work as well.
That's right. Absolutely. Now, for some of the parents that are out there, what are some of the questions that they should be asking before hiring an educational consultant?
It's a great question. I mean, the first thing you want to know is what is the background and training of the individual? And what makes them particularly knowledgeable about the issues that you are personally facing? Somebody who's done a college advising for 20 years may be of no help to you if your issue deals with substance abuse or violent behavior or something along those lines. So what have you done over the years? Secondly, how do you stay current? It's easy to become an educational consultant and sit at your desk and start seeing kids. But what becomes essential is to attend conferences, attend training programs, and to keep enhancing your knowledge and your information base, and also to get out and visit campuses. And I would ask how often they do that. And you're looking for somebody who probably spends 20% of their time out on the road visiting these campuses, to make sure that they really understand what's going on there. And, of course, I think that you ask what professional associations they're part of. Mm-hmm. And it's the one way of knowing that somebody else has really sort of double-checked for you to make sure that this person is honest and ethical.
No, I agree, and it's actually one of the ways that we handle questions. If we get a call from a brand new program and the program says, I'd like you to go pick up Johnny. I'm going to have this parent call you, and I'd like you to go pick up Johnny and bring him to our program. If we haven't been there, my question to them is, Which educational consultants have been there, have recently toured your program that I can speak to because I'm not familiar with your program? And that way I can talk to somebody who I know has been out there. They've looked at so many different programs that they're going to be able to tell the difference of a program that maybe has not been around long enough or they've not covered all the bases for that particular type of child. So, I mean, that's how important I think it is, and I would hope that every parent out there would see it the same way.
Well, and Alan, as you pointed out, one of the great benefits of joining in an association is the shared knowledge. And so every day, one of our members will post something on an internal listserv that we maintain, where they may say to their colleagues, exactly as you've done, who's been here to look at this program in the last 6 months? Maybe they haven't been there in a year and they're worried that things may have changed in that short amount of time.
Sure.
And they may get 40 or 50 responses back. And so a parent who's working with a member of IECA has the advantage, really, of the insights of dozens and dozens of members with every bit of decision making.
Yeah, that's a huge point. I'm glad that you brought that up. Now, on the flip side, what are some of the warning signs that maybe this consultant isn't the one for them?
You know, the thing that I caution parents the most is to avoid a consultant who is trying to rush them into decision making or seems to be an alarmist or seeks to raise the parent anxiety level. Like any service or item that you're going to buy, you want to do that in a thoughtful way, investigate the opportunities. And unfortunately, parents are so anxious about the welfare of their child that there are folks where they may call, and unfortunately what they hear on the other end is, my gosh, you better get that kid in here immediately. We've got to get them placed. They've got to be in a wilderness program by Wednesday afternoon. And that's not what you should be looking for in a consultant. I think you want somebody who clearly from the beginning wants to make sure that there's a good match between the consultant and the family. So not only a good match ultimately with the placement, but is this the right person? I'm much more impressed with a consultant who lets you see what they know rather than someone who is selling their services.
Right. And I think also, and I've got a little story that kind of goes with this, but if you're going to go to the trouble to hire an expert to get their advice on where your child should go, take it. Take the advice. And the example that I give is that, and I was contacted, this is many years ago, but I was contacted by an ed consultant that said, okay, I want you to get ready because it looks like this family is going to need help getting their son to XYZ program. That's the one that I've recommended for them. Well, unfortunately, this family had friends that lived down the street, and when the friend's son came back from a program, which we'll call, ABC program, the boy that came back did great. I mean, he did wonderful on the program that he came back from. So this family spoke to that family and said, well, this one is even less expensive. We're going to go with this one rather than the one that this other ed consultant told us about. We're going to go with this other one. And they didn't even call the ed consultant during a time in which the ed consultant would answer. They called at about 8 o'clock at night, and they left a message, and the message is always stuck in my mind. The parent said, we've decided to go a different direction. Thank you. And that was the message. I wrote about this because that's what happened. Their entire family tree went a different direction because this boy was someone who was sent to a program that dealt with kids who had a chemical dependency as a primary issue and they were low functioning. This boy was very, very high functioning, and chemical dependency was only a secondary issue. Well, he went to that program. He ended up rallying some of the kids who had different issues than him. He was a little bit smarter, more of an A-type takeover kind of guy, and they stole the vehicle. They crashed it. The kid ended up being injured severely to the point that the other family sued that family. The family went into bankruptcy. The mother had a nervous breakdown. All of these things happened, and I tell this to parents sometimes, and I go, because they hired a professional and didn't listen to him, they decided to, quote, go another direction. So,
yeah, it's such a shame, and we hear things like that often, where even looking at a boarding school placement or emotional growth school, and families will say, well, we know a kid who went there, and he had great success there. And again, it's reminding parents, almost every school is a great school for the right child, and almost every school is an awful school when it's not a right match between what the student needs. And so that's the role of the consultant. And I would even say in that situation, what's heartbreaking there is, had they called the consultant earlier and said, we're thinking about going in a different direction, here's what we're thinking of, the consultant could have been in a position to say, well, wait, this is who this kind of school serves. That's not the description that
right.
we've come to terms with your child. You're looking for something very different, and could have saved the family and, frankly, all the other kids at the school some complications, as you described. So
yeah.
What a shame.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why I add in the part about what time they made the phone call, because the ed consultant who told me in more detail of this story and said it was okay for me to tell the story, felt the same way, that the call that came in at 8 o'clock at night was, they really didn't want to talk to the ed consultant. They wanted to leave a message because they didn't really want to be told, don't make a decision because this one's less expensive, or because your friends down the street think it's better, or anything else. I think they made up their mind, didn't want to be told any of the things you're talking about. And you're right, that's the sad part. Mark, what I want to do, I'm going to take a little bit of a break, but when I come back, I want to ask a little bit about the upcoming conference. So if everybody will stay with us, we will be back in 1 minute.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we're back. And there's that little noise. We're back with Mark Scolaro, the executive director of IECA. And Mark, I know that we have a conference coming up. Can you tell us a little bit in regards to who's coming to the conference next month, and what is the main purpose or theme of this particular one?
Yeah, happy to. Yeah, it's interesting, Alan. I attend conferences all year round, and summer conferences just of psychologists or just LD experts or just boarding schools or just therapeutic programs. And what I love, I really do love this about the conferences that IECA, the Independent Educational Consultants Association, runs, is that it's the one conference that brings all those people together in the same place. So in this case, in Charlotte, North Carolina, between 11 and 1,200 educational professionals will be there, one of our largest conferences ever. And from all of those backgrounds, everything from an emotional growth boarding school to a wilderness program to a graduate school program for veterinary medicine, I mean, everybody there in the same place, all with the same mission and looking for ways to make sure that enough information is shared about enough programs to help consultants make good matches when the time comes, but to also share information, what's new in the field of adolescence. So sessions on adolescent brain theory and some of the latest developments there, all the way through new treatment plans for kids with substance abuse issues, just running that whole gamut of what's going on in the world of adolescents today and what could be great solutions for them. But if I were to say really kind of bottom line, what's the key? It's that networking and sharing and information gathering that is so much a part of IECA conferences.
All right. Now, do you have any, what are the particular issues that are going to dominate the schedule? I know that being someone who has gone to many of them, you're right. The educational component is huge. The networking part is great. And in fact, for those that don't know, I mean, I did a TV show here a few years ago, and somebody came up to me at the conference and said, "Well, you know, now that you did this TV show, are you going to, you know, we're probably not going to see you." And I said, "Absolutely not. I guarantee you will continue to see me." In the sense, if I end up not having a company that is even involved in this industry, I would still be there because the emotional high that comes from being at a location to where there's 1,000 people that are all there with an eye to the future and an eye to how can we help the next generation, it doesn't get much better than that, folks. I mean, the feeling that you get is so rewarding that you just can't help but want to come back.
Well, you've got me all jazzed now. I'm ready to go.
Good.
I'm going to wait a
month.
6 weeks before it starts, but you got me all excited. Well, you know, a couple of things. You can often judge a conference. You know, a couple of the major speakers very much set the theme there. So let me just give you a couple of the major events that are going to take place. We have Daniel Pink, who's an author of the book A Whole New Mind, whose basic theory is that it is the creative, artsy people are poised to take over the world. That it isn't this sort of scientific brains, but it's really the creative folk. And a great discussion of what implications that has for all of us in the field of education. And I think that'll be really great. We have the president of High Point University who's speaking about the way to help kids move emotionally from desiring success in their life to desiring significance in their life, of doing something mm-hmm. that impacts their families, the society, the world around them. I think it's going to be an inspiring talk that we're going to hear from Nito Quaben. And then two other quick things, Jeff Georgi, speaking on the adolescent brain. I could listen to this guy all day, and I'm not a deep brain theorist myself. But everything he says is just so on the money. As someone who's gone through that period with my own daughters, to hear him talk is terrific. And he's going to do a 3-hour lecture on brain theory, something very unusual for us. And then, Alan, something that you've never seen before at an IECA conference, we're actually going to have sharing a stage. Folks coming from very different sides of debate over regulation of therapeutic schools and programs, and we're going to have some people that have been on the side of advocating mm-hmm. Stringent federal regulation, and we'll have folks that will be explaining why self-regulation within the industry or regulation that doesn't frankly strangle the field of therapeutic and wilderness programs. We'll share that stage together, and we've never done anything like that before, and I think that's going to be pretty exciting.
Well, and I think what you're doing is that those subjects come up. They've just been coming up in the coffee shops and little side conversations. You've just taken it and put it on the stage for everybody to hear, and I think that's great.
Yeah, it is, and almost everything. You know, we'll be talking about the recession and how that's impacted the education and care of young people, because there are direct implications for everyone from that. And, you know, you mentioned before issues of comorbidity between substance abuse, learning issues, behavior issues, and how all of those come together and which is primary and which is simply reflective of deeper problems in one area. Those are always fascinating discussions, and we've done our best to gather the best experts we can. I think we just tallied up more than 130 presenters at this conference, and
wow.
Just people that are all outstanding leaders in their field.
And I think for some of the therapists and psychologists out there, because I have them on a list, I believe there's also credit, isn't there? I mean, you guys give credits for these seminars.
education units are available, part of the...
You know what? Hang on. We're having a technical difficulty. Are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. But for some reason, the last two things faded out. So can you go over the last part that you said, because it faded out, at least in my headset.
Education units for those people. That's what there are. That main education is offered as part of the conference. The other piece is issues, whether it's dealing with the current economy or areas of comorbidity between behavior, learning issues, substance abuse issues, how those interplay. You know, these are the issues that we hear folks talking about whenever they get together, and our goal is to bring together the top experts that we can. We have 130 presenters at this conference, an incredible number of experts that are going to be stepping up and offering insights to the attendees.
All right. You're back, and we hear you loud and clear. How's the economy impacted the conference?
Well, you know, we're very fortunate because our conference attendance is up. In every category, we have more people attending, except in the category of therapeutic programs, to be honest. And I think that we've seen over the last year, the economy has pretty significantly impacted that segment of the educational community. Therapeutic schools and programs, which are still newer than boarding schools or colleges, and so haven't been through some of the economic cycles that the others have been through already three or four times. We've seen, Alan, as you know, we've seen programs close. We've seen a combining of programs in some cases. And I think it's impacted the conference a little bit because, you know, programs that aren't around don't come to the conference anymore. But we're trying to make sure that those that remain players in the field and those that are out there doing good work have the opportunity to join us. You know, I'm ever the optimist. I actually think that the economic impact ultimately is going to be a good thing. There's little doubt in my mind that some programs that maybe shouldn't survive won't because of the economy, and that can be a good thing. And I expect even those that have had some trouble and may have closed temporarily will come back stronger and maybe even more focused, because I think that's the future, is increased focus serving very specific kinds of issues as they relate to young people.
Well, and speaking of the future, do you think these changes are short-term or are they long-term?
There's the million-dollar question. do you have the answer to, or am I supposed to?
No, I'm hoping that I do.
I think that the problems that we're seeing are short term. I think that it's the impact of two things: these problems in the therapeutic community, and that is it's a new industry, and so there's always some shakeout. After 20 or 25 years of a new industry. So that's going on at the same time that the economy has gone flat. And I think what it's really just done is speed up the process of what would have been a natural growth among some programs, shrink among some programs, some disappearing completely. And I frankly just think that the economy has made what would have been a 10 or 15 year long process collapse into about a 5 year period or less. And I think that we've seen pretty significant change in this field, which, by the way, is further evidence of why you need an educational consultant. Because if you looked online or did some research about a program of what it looked like a year ago, that program probably looks very differently today. It may have acquired another program. Its staff may have changed twice in the last year. It's made its most significant staff members and perhaps a psychologist or therapist on staff. So the challenge for all of us is to stay current, see what's happening in this field, And for educational consultants, it often means getting back to a visit, even though you were there just a year ago, to make sure you really have remained as current as possible.
Well, actually, I think that's some pretty good insight for those of us out there, wondering kind of where it's going. So I appreciate that. We have got about 10 minutes left. I've got another listener question I want to make sure that I get to, and then I want to ask you something a little more personal. But it says, this is a question, again, that was emailed in. It says, I am a parent of a very defiant 15-year-old boy. I've been looking at some of these special programs on the Internet. Each one I talk to says my son is a good fit for their program. How do I figure out which one is correct? That's their first question, and then actually their second question is how does an educational consultant know which one to choose? Now, I think you answered it a little bit, but if you can go over it again so that this particular listener will get it.
Well, listener for call, having a defiant teenager in the house is never easy. I wish you the best effective plan. Well, you know, what worries me is that talking to a parent over the phone could ever say that we're the right program for your child. And Ellen, you may have insight as well, that more of that is happening because the economy is bad, and programs and schools would like to fill beds, to be honest, in the parlance of these schools and programs. And so they are more likely today to say that we're a great match than they might have been a year ago or a year and a half ago. What is so critical is everyone has a different focus and a different specialty. Some, it may be in the use of religion as part of the program. Others will have therapists on there. There are some programs that keep the child in the home community, comes into the home and does the therapy that way. Program, adolescent girl that's acting out an eating disorder or something involved, how it changes everything about the treatment plan. If there's a learning issue that's at the, there's so much ability that can the beauty of an educational has probably been out, looked at maybe 100 or 200 programs. In there, this is, who does this program best serve? They then have this network of consultants around the United States that they can rely on. So, but here's my favorite piece, is that most consultants stay in touch with the program and with the family long after the placement. So they know, was my perception correct that this program works particularly well with this particular child or this particular set of circumstances, so that you know when another family comes along and there's a similar situation that you've already had success with a particular placement. And so it's all of that knowledge, all of that background that comes into play and that makes the match between the student and the program both complicated, but when working with a consultant, I would hope some reassurance that it's not what it would be for the parent, which is a first time, something out of left field, something they've never experienced before. You're going to work with a consultant who has done it hundreds of times, working with hundreds of programs.
Well, I think you have a great point. And one of the things that I had told a parent one time who was sort of adamant about the thought of, the information I'm getting from, over the Internet, must be accurate, and the person I'm talking about must be telling me, that it's a perfect fit. I told one parent, I said, call them back and describe a completely different scenario, almost the opposite of what your child is going through, and find out if that's a perfect fit too.
Yeah, that's, I hate to say to play that sort of thing, but boy, that would not tell you that you're talking to a person whose job is PR and admission, rather than someone working in the best interest of your child.
Yeah, sad, but sometimes it's the things you've got to do. Now, again, before we run out of time, there are a couple things I still want to do, but one of them is that in Charlotte, I'm going to do a little thing. It's going to be another Find Alan and have an answer. And the answer I'm going to ask you people to give me is the answer to the question I'm going to ask Mark. So, Mark, who is your favorite movie actress and why?
Well, my favorite movie actress is Glenn Close. And I think that's because I think she so powerfully handles such divergent roles. I mean, I have to say it's pretty close because I'm a Meryl Streep fan as well. But something about the way Glenn Close can shed a character, add a new character, and become that character for me. I mean, there are times that I despise her, and I thankfully realize that it's because of the character she's played, and other times I absolutely adore her for the same reason. So there's my answer.
All right.
Easiest question of the day.
Okay. Well, let me throw in another one then. What's your favorite movie?
You know, it's not a major movie, but one of my favorite movies of all time is Frequency. So you're going to probably have to look that one up. And just a great father-son movie with just enough science fiction thrown in to keep it interesting.
And believe it or not, I have seen it, and I did like it. So
well, good.
Okay. Now, let me go back into the conference. We've only got a few more minutes, but tell us again as far as how they can get a hold of either of your staff or to go to the link to be able to pull up the information on the conference. If somebody wants to go in, they want to look at what the schedule is, see if it's something that they can make.
Great.
Give them that information.
Happy to do that, and thank you for asking again. So let me again give the website is IECA. For Independent Educational Consultants Association, IECAonline.com, and you can see links there for conference information, both to be an attendee as well as if anyone out there it would be an exhibitor or would be involved in any other aspect of a conference, so they can connect there. There is information at that same website about educational consulting. Both if you were a parent, there's a way to search for an educational consultant in your community, so you're able to search by state and area to find a consultant. You're also able to use that website to find out information about going into the field of educational consulting and find a host of information. Find a good child, whether it's a secondary school match or a therapeutic, just lots of information that without a consultant to help point you in the right direction and know what are the issues that are most important.
And unfortunately, we broke up a little bit in regards to that. But if you can share, one of the changes that's happened in the conference has been that it now is broken up. So you have people that can go, if you don't have time to do the whole thing, you can go and just, if you are looking for more of a college prep situation, you can go in the first couple of days. If it's more special needs, you can go in the second couple. Explain a little bit about that and kind of what brought you to make that decision.
Yeah, what really it, which had always been small in an ivory years, there might only be 200, 250 people at the conference, grown to 1,000 or more, it had become very connect with individuals and spend quality time with them and really be able to share information. It had gotten really too large to have a good educational experience. So it is described, we've now sort of first 2 days of the conference are focused on traditional prep schools, colleges, and consultants. And the second half of the conference is therapeutic schools and programs. And one of the great things that's happened is the field has grown, which has remained pretty much steady. There's a great balance now where consultants at the conference, so they were just greatly outnumbered by all these program folks. today, the great beauty of the program, it's about a one-to-one ratio. There are about the same number of consultants and schools as in the therapeutic program. And it really does help. There are lots of one-on-one. Introducing it, this concept resembles speed dating and allow consultants to sit down one-on-one with a program, spend 6 or 7 minutes, get the highlights, what that program's all about, and then move to the next table, and then move to the next table, and the one after that, and have a chance to visit with and learn about 20 programs or schools that they've never worked with before.
Well, and although I won't be participating in that, I'm looking forward to checking that out. Mark, we have run out of time. I thank you so much for taking your time.
Again, Alan, always a pleasure.
Okay, you're very welcome. Anybody, if you're driving out there and you were not able to write down any of that information, if you go to the answers, the numeral for thefamily.com, and send us any sort of message at all, we will get it to Mark, or we will get you to the website. Again, thank you, Mark, and I will see you in about 6 weeks.
See you soon, Alan. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.